Okay, beautiful song, isn't it? So let's stand now for the reading of the scripture. We have three portions. The first one is Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Second one, John 11, verse 32. And third, John 12, verse 3. So Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Okay, then we turn to John chapter 11. Verse 32. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Okay, and John chapter 12, verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gathering we have right now in your presence as your body. We acknowledge your headship over this body. And even as Pastor shares, and your headship is honored, God, we just pray that we would receive that in faith. You would give us a heart of submission and meekness today, even as we receive the word. Stir us up in our devotion toward you, God, we pray. Just really bless the hearing of the word. Remove all distractions from within and from without. And may we really glean from what you're speaking to us today. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have number one, incipient faith, or what we call initial faith. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 38 to 42, Jesus Christ is in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He is invited by them into the house. And in the house, he begins to communicate the word to them. And the one that invited Jesus Christ into the house, Martha, got very much consumed with serving. Her sister decided that she will first listen to Jesus, and so she decided to sit and listen to the word. But it said that she was sitting at his feet and listening to what he was saying. Martha was quite disturbed at Mary's level of concentration, because she was not hearing the vessels in the kitchen interfere with her capacity to receive the word. So right in the middle of the session that Jesus Christ had, she barges in and directly goes to Jesus and addresses Jesus Christ about her sister Mary. I like what she says. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. It should have read, but Martha was delighted with all her preparations. Are you awake? Yes or no? She was delighted. No, she was not delighted. She was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. When we do not exercise a certain level of authority over another person, we would like someone else to prompt to them so that they would listen to what we have to say or do what we want them to do. There is this tendency. So Martha thought that she would instruct the Lord to instruct Mary. Wouldn't that be great? And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, why are you worried and bothered about so many things? Dal palak, chana dal, dal methi. You know when you go to a restaurant and you ask the waiter, he gives you a whole list by heart, and you know you're just going to eat two idlis. And the poor guy rattles off everything, and he listens to you very calmly and he brings it. Jesus did not just address Martha from the viewpoint of what she was distracted about. He addressed Martha from the viewpoint of what can never be taken away from Mary. It's a very important observation here in verse 42 of chapter 10. Now, this is crucial because when there is an awakening of faith, or what we call incipient faith or initial faith, there is a level of concentration that is absolutely and totally necessary in order for a person to have clarity of thinking. Let me say it again. When there is incipient faith, there is a level of concentration, there is a kind of an awakening that comes in, and there is a kind of clarity that is there. But against this clarity, there is always a distraction. Okay? It is God's purpose when He communicates to us, when He communicates the Word of God to us, and we receive the Word of God in faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There will always be a measure of distraction that will be associated, that will accompany the hearing of faith. That is why we come here to the church, and we, in the church, as we receive the Word, there is an environment that the Holy Spirit creates in us, a capacity to be in this place, to receive the Word. Therefore, there is a measure of concentration that is necessary. You know, we are always amazed in a school environment where a teacher was teaching, you know, 50 to 60 kids, and the kind of discipline that is necessary for that teacher to communicate to these kids. In days gone by, there would be a level of concentration that kids would be able to hear what the teacher was saying. There was not so much a need for tuition. As they go back home, they would go out and they would play and enjoy and recreation. Today, it has changed because there is a level of distraction. There is a level of distraction. The innate ability to focus and concentrate that is given to each of us by God as we are created in His image is completely set aside by the distractions that are in this world. So you begin to see that people do not understand it when it's communicated. They need repetition, and repetition is necessary. But they need repetition. They need to be told again and again, because the level of concentration is lost as a result of the tremendous distractions that have come into one's life. And preoccupation preoccupation with things that are unnecessary in our lives take away our focus and our ability to concentrate on what God is trying to communicate to us. Martha was in such a situation. What is the point in having Jesus in the house when I am not in a place of listening to what he has to say? Let me say it again. What is the point of having Jesus in the house and not being in a place where I am available to what he says? So Jesus Christ is saying, Martha, only one thing is necessary. One thing. Maybe one meal. But his emphasis is on Mary has what? Chosen the? What part? The good part. And it will never be, that word there is, snatched away. In Matthew 13, the first kind of hearer had the word. The sower sowed the seed, and the seed fell along the wayside, and the birds of the air came, and they, what they did? They snatched the word of God. They snatched it. That means that word had no capacity to enter in. What is it? The word had no capacity to enter. In the test of faith, the key is hearing. In the test of faith, the key is hearing. What is involved here? It is the volition that is involved here in the test of faith. So we have this amazing principle, incipient faith, initial faith. When things are communicated to us and we are preoccupied with other things, some people have the capacity to have it in their memory. Some write it down on a book, on a piece of paper, so they can look out to see what is it that is communicated. This is absolutely crucial, because we will go from incipient faith or initial faith to faith that is progressive, or faith that is developed. This is an important growth in the life of the believer, because when there is the test of faith, the key element in it is hearing. But when there is the development of faith or the progression of faith, there is the transition of faith. There is the what? Transition. In the development of our faith, there will be transition that will be absolutely necessary in our lives as believers. In this transition, the believer goes from hearing, he goes to abiding. What is it? Are you awake? He goes from hearing to what? Abiding. Now, it is in this sphere of transition that the believer is brought to a very important place when it relates to the crises that one faces in life through what he experiences. And that is why these three parallels of scripture in Luke 10, 38 to 42, in John 11, 28 to 32, and John 12, 1 to 8. Three things where Mary is, number one, sitting at his feet. She is listening to the word of God. She enters into the hearing of faith. The test of faith is what? How one hears. It is the hearing of the faith. There, her volition is the key in her life as a person. What she has cannot be taken away from her. It does not fall at the wayside. It has its entrance in her. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Now what God would want to do with a person that is in this place where there is the hearing of faith, that has the hearing of faith, because when the word of God is spoken, the person makes a decision to agree with God volitionally, shuts out all the possible distractions that can come in their life, no matter what is going on right now, in relationship to be preoccupied, because God wants that person's faith to be brought to the next stage, and that is transition. He wants that faith to enter into a place of progressing, of developing. He wants that faith to attach to itself. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we see 4, 5, virtue. He doesn't want that faith to be faith that is just unsubstantial. He wants that faith to have substance. He wants that faith to have weight. He wants that faith to have power. He wants that faith to have authority. So he's training the believer. The believer, in order for him to be brought to a place where he is now experiencing growth in his life as a Christian, or he wants to go, as Romans 1:70 say, from faith to faith, cannot have it if he has first not learned to sit at the feet of Jesus. In this expression of developing, the development of faith, there is something that is absolutely and totally important. The first one is the clarity that comes, which gives us definition. Which gives us what? Definition. These are points I'm giving you today. It gives us definition. When we sit at the feet of Jesus and he speaks, he defines things for us as believers. When I come to the word and I read the scriptures, yes, this is the word of God. It is not just written, it is also living. I receive definition. Pastor Shala spoke on the messages we've been hearing on the evenings. Every Sunday evening we meet here at 6:30. Please come by faith. I know you can listen to it on the internet. When we come together by faith, if you can come, think that you're already in the millennial kingdom. You're living here. You're living out of time. You know, as we function in the body, a lot of things will happen. You know, April, May, a lot of, you know, people are like, you know, when there is tension, there is a lot of momentum. Pastor, please pray my kids have their final exams. The candle on the altar is lit. The altar becomes sanctified. The television is switched off. The ringlets around the eyes, the late nights, no matter what the kids want in the house, they get, because it's their final exams. Some are writing entrance exams to enter into the kingdom of God. All kinds of things. That kind of life, that life brings in a lot of pressure and tension. That life of pressure and tension is meat for the believer. What is it? Huh? Jesus is thirsty. He wants water to drink. He talks to the woman at the well. She gets converted. She turns the whole city upside down. Disciples come to give him food. What he said? My meat is to do the will of God. The believer has something going for him in these situations of life. He is not abandoned. He is not, you know, rejected. He is not isolated by God. These are the situations where God said, is meat for you. But there is something that's important. You cannot be preoccupied and distracted about everything around when you should be sitting and listening to what I have to say at my feet. There is a tendency today to want counsel. They want counsel without transition. Meaning, if you were the only God, counsel me in such a way that I would always be effective and successful. Because you know what I am doing, I'm doing it for your glory anyways. Then you and I would be able to prevent a lot of transitions, in the sense of I would not be messing up so much along the way. Well, the purpose of transitional faith is progressive faith, and the transition is so that I would recognize that sometimes messing up is the only way by which I can grow. So I'm a straight A student. I am not by nature. I mean, I'm not, but I could forge beautifully. You put the whitener and everything else, you know. There's one report card that the teacher gives you. There's another report card you take home to sign. Right? Parents like, okay, you did a fantastic job in this sign. And then you know how to forge the parent's signature on the original one. Huh? This is common today. It's called creativity. You get a job in an advertising company, you'll do extremely well. See, in John chapter 11, now Mary is very outspoken, and Jesus has been told that Lazarus is sick. And Jesus is telling his disciples, Lazarus is asleep. His disciples say, if he's asleep, then we don't need to wake him up. And Jesus very clearly says, Lazarus is D-E-A-D, dead. But he goes. His going is very significant, because we have two approaches here. Number one, Martha goes to meet Jesus Christ when she hears that Jesus Christ was coming to Bethany. The only thing is, he's unable to heal Lazarus from his sickness, because Lazarus has long time been buried. And she makes this statement to him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But then she makes another amazing statement, and she says this, but I know whatsoever you ask of the Father of God, he will give it to you. What is it? And Jesus said to her, verse 23 of chapter 11, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, well said, Martha, well said. No, he didn't say that. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I know that he will be raised up on the, what? Huh? And he said to her, do you believe this? And she said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into this world. Now, there is a progression here in the Gospels of John. Number one, there is first the testimony of Jesus in terms of who he is. This is the entire 21 chapters. Number two, there is the awakening of faith. And at the same time, there is the expression of unbelief. At all times you will see this in the Gospels. Then there is the third thing. There is the development of faith unto its mature end. You will see this. If there is faith that is awakened in some, there will always be unbelief that will always be manifested at the same time. That is the purpose of the Gospel of John. To show, number one, reveal the testimony of Christ concerning who he was, whether it was his own witness or the witness of somebody else. Second, there will be the awakening of faith, the development of faith. There is also what? A measure of unbelief. So whenever there would be something that Jesus would do supernaturally, it would always be confronted. They would always be confronted. If he healed a man on the Sabbath, they would say it was done on the Sabbath. So on one hand, there would be faith that would always be there. On the other hand, there would be a certain measure of unbelief. So here we see this beautiful expression here. This is where, in the transition of faith, in the element of my development as a believer in faith, that the believer that goes beyond receiving definition as a believer. It is important here for a believer to have discernment. What is it? To have discernment. Now, discernment is not something that we have. We have intuition, you know, we know innately, but discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the ability to put two and two things together and to come to a conclusion. The Apostle Paul is praying to the Philippian church and the Colossian church, I pray that you will be filled with all knowledge and wisdom and discernment. Discern, the ability. Martha is here, and she is in this place where she is confessing that she believes in a resurrection at some point of time, but she is not sure whether she believes that Jesus Christ is the one that can raise Lazarus from the dead. So Christ is in the transition of faith. He wants to, in a very loving way, correct her thinking. To correct her thinking, one of the most important things in order for a person to be brought to a place of discernment. See, definition comes sitting at the feet of Jesus. Discernment comes when I am in a place where I am willing to be corrected by Jesus. Not many people are willing to be corrected in their development of faith, and therefore their faith becomes arrested because they are not willing to have their natural perception be replaced by spiritual illumination. You understand that? They are not going to allow their natural perception. I feel like I'm speaking in a motivational class this morning. Natural perception. My natural perception is this. If you had just come a little earlier, we would not have to go through the entire process of burying my brother, because I am absolutely confident that you would have healed him. Look at the amount of money that had to be spent on funeral expenses. We could have given them to missions. Is that good? That's original. Why all this? I mean, if anyhow Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead, correct? So if you had just been a little earlier, look at the expenses. The weepers are there, we have to pay them. The coffin is there, the grave is there. The people that will come, we have to feed them. All those expenses couldn't have gone for missions. And God is not looking at expenditure when it comes to transition. God is looking at virtue when it comes to transition. God is not looking at what was taken out. God is looking at what is gone in here. Are you with me this morning? Many of us, we are at this point. We are at this point in our development and training. Now, we are at all three points, but we are at this point. Transition. A specific situation that God has me at this point of time in my life as a believer. I cannot graduate from this event. As a believer in my Christian walk, I cannot graduate. There is the test of faith where you are seated at Jesus, and then there is the transition of faith. In the transition of faith, the believer finds himself desperately falling at the feet of Jesus. Because in the transition of faith, the believer is in this place where he needs to be corrected. But he is not left to be just corrected. In case of Martha, Jesus Christ is also wanting to do something beautiful. He wants to comfort. See, Martha goes out to meet Jesus. Mary is sitting in the house. Enforced discipline because she did not cook for Jesus when he came the first time. I love this because if in the test of faith there is hearing, in the transition of faith there is abiding. There is abiding. She is in the house. She is not going out to meet Jesus. She could go to meet Jesus, but she is not going to meet Jesus. There's a principle here. The principle of being in the house in John chapter 11. Verse 20, Martha therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Now, it's not that Mary, you know, she loves Jesus, she loves her brother, she loves Martha, but it is a principle. It is when a person has been sitting at the feet of Jesus and has been hearing by faith, and the volition is involved in what Jesus is saying, what happens? There is definition that is given. Definition. Now, definition given is something that is objective. Is objective. When I have that from God given to me, God will allow me as a believer to be placed in the plan in such a manner so that in the transition that I find myself up, the definition that has been given to me as a believer would turn into discernment in me as a believer. That the believer would have the ability to discern. If in the definition it is an element of hearing, in the discernment he learns to abide. That means he is in this place allowing the transition that he is experiencing at this point of time in his life to make him teachable, so that the plan of God will become unfolded to him as he learns to abide. He is not distracted anymore. He's not distracted as a person, preoccupied, because that was dealt with in the first stage. What is that? He learned how to concentrate. He learned how to focus. He learned how to put these things. Now he's in this place where he's abiding. He wants to be made what? Teachable. It is in the teachability of the life of the believer that in this element of faith, which is transitional, that he receives the tremendous comfort of God. And that is seen in Mary. Now Martha goes and tells Mary that the master calls you. Now whether Jesus said that or not is not clear, but maybe she thought that Jesus had a greater sense of influence rather than Martha. You see, that is the thinking. When there is preoccupation that comes in, and when there is a person in the transitions of faith automatically starts receiving things, maybe the other person is loved by God more than me. Maybe the other person can exercise a greater degree of influence on God more than me. Maybe the prayers of another person can be answered by God more than me. People do not know that we have a throne of grace and open heaven, that every prayer that goes to the throne of grace is heard. Not every prayer may be answered in the measure that I want them to be. People don't know that, so they flock to different places today. They give money here, give money there, go on pilgrimages, do all these things. They even could put more on the tithes today to make sure that they get a greater job, a greater blessing, a greater wife, you know, all these other things. And they don't understand the simple thing. What is it? That transition is absolutely crucial and necessary for the development of one's faith. And Jesus Christ has on purpose not shown up on their time schedule, because he wants to do something. He wants them to be corrected. And what? That he is not on man's timetable, he is on his Father's timetable. He wants us to recognize that. That I'm not on my own time frame here, on time schedule. We are on God's time schedule. Therefore, the need to understand what abiding is all about. And Mary is beautiful in this picture, and she learns how to abide. And this is very important for us. What happens here? She falls at his feet. Now there is no such. And you read after that from chapter 11, Jesus is. He is groaning in his spirit. There is no such communication when he's talking to Martha in that way. Nothing wrong. It's not that he loves Mary more than Martha. But Mary falling at his feet. She is sitting at his feet. Second, she is what? Falling. Why? She is completely and totally overwhelmed with sorrow, with the sorrow of the situation. Overwhelmed with the sorrow of the situation. She does say, also like Martha, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But when Jesus saw her weeping, what is it that she was in this place, in that transition? She was abiding. And when the person learns to abide in God, the comfort of God is made available to that person in his life. The third point in closing is mature faith. And here, if it is the test of faith in hearing, if it is the transition of faith in abiding, it is the triumph or the testimony of faith when it comes to mature faith. What is it? It is in this place of maturity that the believer is vindicated by God. Because it is a place in the plan of God where the believer has gone from the test of faith in his hearing, has gone from the transition of faith in his abiding. Now he has entered into the testimony or the triumph of faith. As a result of manifesting. Where is this passage of scripture? Now Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet in Luke chapter 10. Number 2, she's falling at Jesus' feet. One, she is a student of the Word of God. She is concentrating. Okay, number 2, she is in transition in the plan of God through tremendous sorrow. She's being consoled. There is a comfort. And this important point in chapter 12 is beautiful because Mary now is in this place. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Think about it. And they're having a party in the house. Can you imagine what it must be like? We just had a funeral service in the next 3-4 days. Person just comes back from Hosur Cemetery. People just witnessed something. What happened? So can you imagine? The sign before he walks into the temple in John chapter 12 on a colt. This is one of the signs that he gives before that. That is the last sign. Now think about this. Mary is doing something unique. In the house, there is something unique that happens. Martha is serving without making any noise. What did she do in Luke 10? She purposely, because the vessels were aluminium, she purposely made sure that Mary would get the point that she was alone and that Jesus would also get the point and tell Mary, go your sister. But both didn't get the point because the level of concentration and virtue was so amazing that she came barged out into the place and she decided to interrupt the whole session that was going on. Why invite the Lord home in the first place? Sometimes you go to a Bible study in a place, you know, have you been there? You go to Bible study, you're preaching, and suddenly somebody from the house comes into the room. You're like, okay, the Bible study becomes a religious activity in the home. Christ is not here, and we are not here. Christ is here, but we are not here to give a religious attendance. You might as well sit at home. We are here because God wants to teach us what it means to be at a place where there is a test of our faith. Number 2, there is a transition of our faith. And 3, there is a triumph or a testimony of our faith. All these 3 things are constantly happening presently in the body of Christ. I'll close this third point, give an application and finish it. Mary does something unique. You know what she does? She takes something that a woman will naturally preserve if she has one, a bottle of nard. It's a perfume that is very expensive. It was equivalent to 300 denarius. And she pours it on Christ. It says here in chapter 12. What did she do? He anointed his feet. Anointed his feet. So she was sitting at his feet. Then she fell at his feet. And now she what? What? See, sitting at his feet did not cost her anything. Falling at his feet did not cost her anything. But pouring that ointment at his feet cost her something. In the first two categories, there is no price to pay. In the third category, there is a price to pay. Now listen, think of this. It was not demanded of her that she pour that ointment on him. She did it as an expression of her being in the place of understanding what she could do now that she would not be capable of doing later. Let me say it again. In this life, and only in this life, can we be called in to pay a price in relationship to the understanding that we have of who God is. He said again, only in this life, here on earth, as believers, can we be called to pay a price in relationship to the understanding of who God is in this life. In eternity, we will never be able to be we'll never be called to pay a price in eternity. But only in this life in time will we be called. Called what? Called on the basis of the test of faith, our hearing. Called what? Called on the basis of the transition of faith in our abiding. Now we will be in this place where there will be a triumph or the testimony of faith. The testimony of faith is always in relationship to the price one is willing to pay in relationship to his or her understanding of who he is. People will often question your faith in this third category, and they will look at it and they will say, don't you think you're making an irrational decision? Don't you think you're throwing your life away? What will happen to you years down the road? What will you get for the decisions you make? All these prompt things that will come because there is someone behind the scene that is there, that is not visible but is there. And you know who he is? He is Judas Iscariot. And in that situation, in John chapter 12 verses 1 to 8, he is a personification of the devil himself. He's there. And you know what he's saying? This is such a waste. This money could have been given for a philanthropic purpose. But this is not, he did not say this because he really cared for the poor. This, he said this because he had control of the whatever kitty they had and he had the money. He was the treasurer. He said it because of that. You know why this is, friends, today? Because if there's one thing that the devil hates, he does not want the believer to render worship unto God. He does not mind if you work for him. He does not mind it if you are in this place where you in need of him, but he does mind if you render him all the praise, all the glory, and all the worship, he does mine. It is in that realm that he does not want the believer to be in the place where he can count all things but loss for the sake of knowing Christ. Let's face it. We harbor our differences. We count our losses. We have memory of wrong decisions that we make. We don't allow the word to come inside and objectively define things for us. We are not allowing the blood to cleanse us. We are not wanting God to form a new conscience in us as believers. We are not willing to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. We want to be the Martha, because it is evident that if I'm doing this, there is a lot of fluff in my life and people will think we are spiritual. No, God says no. When people come into this ministry, and they may be gifted, and they may all, in the world, whatever, the first thing that they need to do when they come here is not that they don't get involved in the church. They need to be at a place like Mary where they sit. And I can discern it. Because of natural thinking, natural ability, natural wisdom, natural intellect, all these things are okay. It has nothing to do with a person's spiritual perception. So God has a way by which he makes a person to sit in the place where they can receive something. They don't want to sit in the place. They want to tell other people. They want to talk before they can receive and listen. And this goes on for years. They're never brought to the place of discipline in their life where they can sit down. Or if they're sitting, they're distracted and preoccupied. See, God has a way. What is it? The test of faith is in your hearing. It's in your hearing. The transition of faith is in your abiding. In your hearing, God counsels you. He gives you definition. In the transition of faith, he gives you discernment. And you know what happens? In the maturity of your faith, or in the triumph of faith, or the testimony of faith, it's your deliverance. He vindicates you. Vindicates. What a statement Jesus Christ made. What did he say? He said, leave her alone. What did he say? There is an explicit command from Christ. Why? Why is there an explicit command? Because there is a tremendous sense of worship that is there in her life. So Mary, she sat at his feet, she fell at his feet, and she anointed his feet. All of us, at some point of time, we fall into one of these three categories as believers. Some in the body of Christ might be sitting right now and maybe enjoying what is saying. And you come out of the church saying, wasn't amazing what was said this morning from the pulpit or whatever, and like excited. But when you talk to the other person is not in that place of sitting. The other person is in that place of falling. And the other place of, so they look at you and like, I'm sitting, I'm hearing, but they are in the place where they are being taught. Because they are in transition, they are taught how to but abide. They are taught how to abide. That is their transition. But if in this transition of abiding, I remove myself out of this place of sitting, okay, now this is the key, I'm closing, then I will sit at home and I will say, Pastor Brian said how to abide. I have no motivation to come to church because right now what I'm hearing has nothing. It's not helping my real problem that I have as a believer. So I send Martha to ask Jesus, why is it you didn't come 2 days back? I don't learn the secret of how to abide because I have progressed into the second phase of my life where faith needs to be developed, but I also must recognize at the same time I also have to be sitting as faith is developing. You are with me? You cannot have segments in the Christian life where I take out the sitting. I was doing that for the first 2-3 years of my Christianity in the church. This is the second phase of what is it? God is developing me. But are you sitting? No, I'm not sitting, I'm developing. So whenever there's time to come into the body of Christ to hear the message, to hear here, a person is out there discipling people outside the church as the pastor is preaching in the church or the men of God are preaching in the church. Because to them, it's a transition. I'm with a group of transitional people in this place. Who are they? They're all having transition. So it's a transitional meeting. And they don't come to the place where they sit like Mary to hear, because what they hear will teach them how to abide. Hello? So I say, you know, honey, I can't go to, I don't think I'm a little bit tired today. The kids, you know, yesterday was Saturday. We went to the mall, all these malls. It's so exhausting. Today morning, we listened to the message. Vijay Penapal, it's on YouTube, correct? No? Yes, it's on YouTube. I meet some of these people on the streets in the evenings and I'm coming back. Yeah, Allah gullah, happy go lucky, sitting, enjoying their life. Yeah, they didn't even know Sunday service was happening or a Wednesday night service was happening or Sunday night service. They're bored to death. They have no idea about what is really coming in. So what happens? The ability to take the nard and pour it on Jesus is an exception to life rather than the rule of life. That's my final statement. What is it? The taking of the costly nard and putting it on the feet, anointed on the head, Matthew says, Luke says on the feet, because she took the place of humility, is an exception to the rule, not a rule of life, but it was an exception to the rule of life. That means the price that is now demanded for me to pay as a believer is something that I would consider in my life as an exception to the rule. It would not just be the normal rule of life for the believer. And Mary, by bringing the spikenard to Jesus, was saying, this is not anymore something that I'm doing so it would be an exception to the rule. He said it would be from now the rule of life that I have as a believer. That means my life in Christ, our lives in Christ, are not 10% today, 20% tomorrow, 30%. And as we mature, it is everything from day one. When we begin to understand what the hearing of the faith is, what the transition of the faith is, and what the maturity of the faith is. See, when I reach that state of faith that is mature, the person is not holding anything back in terms of his relationship with God. That means whatever the Lord demands in that person's life is what that person brings in relationship to what God demands. When Abraham reached that life of maturity of faith, there was no holding back of anything in his life. He also went from faith, where it's incipient faith, then he went to progressive and developing faith, and then he went to mature faith. When he came to that place of maturity in his life as a believer in Genesis chapter 22, and God had asked him, I want you to bring your son, and I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham had no reservations about what God said. He just knew that the price that he had to pay at that point of time was the result of faith being perfected in him as a believer in James 2, 22 to 24. What happens when you get a whole group of people in the kingdom of God that allows God to take them from progressive, from incipient faith to what? Developing faith, transitional faith, and mature faith. There is no withholding back of anything in my life that God demands as a person. That's one of the greatest places to be in our lives. Father, we thank you this morning for each one that has come in this place today. We just pray for the body of Christ today. Help us to recognize these three dimensions of faith that you always take us from. We are seated, then we abide, and then we manifest. And it is in the abiding that you teach us, you correct us, and you comfort us. The sword of the Spirit has two sides. It cuts and it heals. And we thank you for that in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 today. In our lives, Lord, we are at these three stages progressively. Yes, thank you. Bless the body of Christ this morning, each one in the room today, we pray. Bless those that are traveling, visiting, or out on holiday vacations. We, as the school and the college semesters begin, we just pray that you will draw them back into the body of Christ and help us to recognize the part that we play as your people in the kingdom of God today in this nation. Pray that each one will have an understanding about his particular portion and a particular calling, Father, we pray. Some may be in the place where they are sitting and receiving. Some are in the place where there is a transition. Some are in the place where faith is being made manifested. And when we are sitting, we look at others whose faith is being manifested and we say, well, how can that happen? How can you pay such a price? And yet, we will be progressively one day brought to that same place. Now, Abraham didn't know that he could take his son up on the altar and offer his son up. He didn't know that that would be possible in his life. He didn't know that would be possible, but it did happen. We thank you, Father, for that today. May you be glorified in our midst. May you be honored. And may you be worshipped at all times, Father, we pray. We want to seek great things for ourselves. In Jeremiah 45:5, you said, seek ye not, but seek the things concerning the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto us. Thank you once again this morning. In Jesus' name.